Welcome, Aaron, to Artists in the City. Tell listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Aaron Monroe, and for those of you who don't know me, I'm an actor. Trying to make it as an actor in Toronto. I've been acting for about 3 years now, and it's been a blast. I haven't really looked back since I started. It's a lot of fun. I've learned a lot in the 3 years that I've started, and I mean, this is really my first interview as an actor, so it's good exposure for me.
Maybe let's go take the listeners back, how you got into acting, and that sort of journey.
Okay. I started acting, a lot of people had joked around with me, you're a good looking guy, you're funny, you have a good personality, you should try acting. And so I was working full time and I was kind of like, I had this on the side, fooling around with it. And I actually started off by modeling, just to get comfortable in front of people, in front of the camera, taking directions and getting comfortable with myself, And so I did that for about a year, and then I had thought, why don't I try acting, So I started to, just kind of fool around with monologues, and I would go to like auditions for student films and stuff like that. And I started getting, into like the smaller films. And so I got a lot of good feedback, and I was thinking to myself, this could be something that you should pursue, because it's working out, And from since then, it's really kind of taken off. I did a few more independent films. I did a feature film in the past summer, and then I was in a TV series. It was a docudrama TV series. I didn't do it, and then I started to tell myself, well, the media is going well, television and film. Let's try some theater, And every actor that I know has told me to do theater. It's a good foundation, and so right now. Since November, I've been doing some theater. I was in a show called The Laramie Project, and I was a narrator. And then now I'm in a play called The Meeting, and I'm playing Malcolm X. So it's been going well, really well. I'm fortunate.
And let's sort of go into the production that you're going and what the process, and because Malcolm X has a huge role. A lot of people have seen Spike Lee's movie. So how is that process first in the audition process? How did you come to the script? How did you come to the actual ensemble? And maybe talk about that process.
Sure. Initially, when I auditioned for The Meeting, I had read for the role of Rashad, who is Malcolm X's bodyguard. And I was comfortable with that. So the initial audition, I did my monologue, and then I read for Rashad, and the director said, okay, that was good. That was really good. And so I left thinking that, okay, I'm going to be Rashad. I was happy with Rashad, And Rashad has a really minor role in the play. He's in it for just maybe about 12 minutes, and it's an hour long. And so they held the callbacks, and during the callback, the director asked me, she said, did you prepare for Malcolm X? And I said no. I said I was, told I was gonna read for Rashad again, and she's like, "Oh, okay. I want you to prepare Malcolm X, right?" And so I said, "Oh, what am I gonna do?" She's putting me on the spot here, and so, I just kind of thought of what Malcolm X is, and he's very serious, and he's very, in those times he was fighting to protect himself and his family and his people, and so I portrayed that the best I could. When she asked me to read his lines and whatnot, and sooner or later I got the call back, and I was offered the role of Malcolm X, and I said, "Of course." So I'm not going to turn that down, right? So it was a little tricky, but I mean, part of being an actor is to take on challenges, and this was a challenge, and I knew it was going to be a challenge, and it was an unexpected challenge, but. I mean, that's what you do when you love what you do, right? You take on new challenges. And so that's the process of becoming Malcolm X. Yeah.
I mean, the play, from what I read, it's basically the meeting, and it sort of asks the question, what if Martin Luther King and Malcolm X had met? Maybe tell the listeners a little bit about the actual play.
Okay. It's called The Meeting, and it's written by Jeff Stetson. The Meeting is a play that's written in a fictional setting, which is a hotel room, but the characters are very much real, as we all know. Martin Luther King, who's played by Roy Lewis, by the way, his bodyguard Rashad, who's played by Tommy, and Malcolm X. And so the play kind of takes you into a meeting that never happened in real life, but the playwright Jeff Stetson has taken the two men's philosophies and some of their actual speeches and kind of infused them into a conversation that he believes that's the way the conversation would have turned out had they met. And so it gives the audience a real good insight of what both men believed in, for those that don't know anything about Martin Luther King or Malcolm X. It also gives a good perspective on what people should expect if they met, because it probably would have been the way that it happened in the play. I'm not going to give anything away, but the moral of the story is, even though we have different beliefs, we can be on the same team because we want the same thing. We might not want to achieve it the same way, but instead of being against each other, which is probably what people want, we should be together. And so that's the beauty of it. It's the audience comes and watches this play, and they see Stetson's realization or his version of what would have been the outcome. And people also can use their imagination to have their outcome, right? Because it's a fictional setting. And so they can imagine, okay, that probably would have happened, but I think this would have happened, you know? And so it kind of opens up the mind for people that probably don't know anything about Martin Luther King or Malcolm X.
Yeah. How was, you know, the rehearsal process, and you know, how's the feeling among the whole cast and crew?
The rehearsal process was extensive. Pretty much as soon as we got the call, they finished the casting, we were right into rehearsals, and it was 6.5 hour days, 6 days a week rehearsals, because we only had a 2 week period to get ready for, you know, the whole of February, which is what we're performing. We're touring all the elementary schools, or most of the elementary schools in the GTA area, and we're also doing a few public shows at libraries, and we're doing one at Hard House Theater as well. So it was an intense process. It definitely presented a lot of challenges. You know, these are two characters that, you know, you're not going to walk into the room and be able to play them like that. It takes work. It takes direction. Our fabulous director, Awaba, yeah, she was fantastic. She has seen the play many times, and she said, you know, every time I see it, it's like I'm seeing it for the first time. And so it was really helpful to have that perspective, you know, and for her to shape us into the molds that would bring the best out of us, and she definitely did that, and it was a pleasure working with her. And you know, that's part of the process of being an actor, is, you know, the rehearsal. That's probably one of the biggest things for an actor, is to go into rehearsal and literally become this character, or let the character become them, you know. So it was quite the extensive and challenging rehearsal process, but it definitely brought the best out of all of us. Yeah.
What was your research kind of like preparing for Malcolm X?
Wow. where do I start? You know, it's funny you ask that, because I had known of Malcolm X, but a lot of the details about his life I didn't know. And so I must have read his biography about 4 times. I was on YouTube watching a lot of his interviews, a lot of his speeches. It was an extensive process. I mean, I had him down to a T. I knew everything about him, every aspect of his life. You know, the turning points of his life, like when he went to Mecca and he saw things differently. Pretty much research. I find it funny, because after this, I might have to take some downtime to kind of come out of him, or let him come out of me, because I find myself sometimes talking like him at home. You know, I'll recite lines from the play to my girlfriend, and I'll be like, "Hold on, you know, we're not in the hotel room." So, yeah, it's definitely a process of. Some people might have a different view, but it's definitely a process of finding the character, his traits or her traits, and bringing yourself to that. And that's what makes each actor unique, is when they bring their own traits to a character that already has their traits. And so, that's one of the beauties of playing Malcolm X. People tell me I kind of look like him. So, and it's funny because I didn't think that. A lot of research. Physicality is a big one, you know, incorporating his physical movements into your daily routines. While memorizing lines, you know, thinking about how Malcolm would say them, you know, whether it's an interview or a speech, how would he say them? Quite the extensive process, but it's definitely, if you stay committed to it, it's worth it, you know?
Do you look at other actors' portrayal of that, or is that kind of ruin your process? You just focus on Malcolm himself.
Like, did I watch Denzel?
I have to ask that question.
You know, I've been advised by various people and acting coaches not to do that, because then your interpretation becomes their interpretation, and you think you have to do it like them. But that's not the case. And like I said, every actor has to know what is inside of them and how to bring that out in the role they're playing. And so, no, I didn't do that. I watched Malcolm himself, and I said, you know, what can I do, to make myself sound like Malcolm, or get myself to, have his mannerisms, And so, and that's one of the things Awaba, our director, really worked with me on. She said, you know, you don't have to sound like Malcolm giving speeches, you know, you just need to more let Malcolm become you, and not let you become Malcolm so much, you know, let it be more natural, you know, and it made a lot of sense, because at one point in rehearsals, I could literally feel Malcolm in me and coming out of me, you know, and it's an interesting feeling, I'll tell you that much. But it was a really good process, yeah.
Like you mentioned, you're performing now the play that runs basically through Black History Month or African Liberation Month. So how has that been, and how is the different reactions with the different schools? How is each performance different? What is the audience reaction like?
The age group for this play, the rating is for 14 years old and older. So we went to Oakwood Collegiate on the 1st, which was last Friday, and they received it really well. A lot of the kids, they absorbed the play the way that we wanted them to, because we have a Q&A after for about 15 minutes, and some of the questions they asked were really good, inquisitive questions. And so that's mainly the age group I think that this should be geared towards. We had a show on Monday at Sunnyview Middle School in Brampton, and a slightly younger age group, I believe it was, between the ages of 10 and 12. And, I mean, they got the general gist, but the play is very dialogue heavy, and so a lot of the stuff in the dialogue you really need to understand what they're saying. You need to listen. And so at that age, I think they didn't quite get the dialogue, but they got the general gist. And so they received it a lot differently to the way high school kids did. But I mean, I made sure to tell them after the show, you know, just take 10 minutes when you're bored at home and just, you know, read about these two men, because, you know, they're part of the reason that you're able to sit here together today. You know, in freedom and in peace, you know, and so I think that's very important in terms of, like, the way we, each age group absorbs it, even if they don't necessarily understand the dialogue for us to at least say something to them so that they understand how important, you know, this story is. I think that's a good way to get through to them as well. So,
because I just remember being in high school and middle school, and I remember when we started watching plays. It was in, I think, grade 7. It was more musicals, I guess. And it was Les Mis that we watched. So to have an opportunity to have a play presented that is so specific to many people's backgrounds, primarily of African descent, that it's just amazing. So, and I think at that age, I don't think they might not react the way you, but I think it is impactful. I remember, you know, going back and thinking about it, with different eyes, obviously. But I think, just because, you know, kids don't know as much, it might not get the same reaction, but I think it's still just as valid. Yeah.
I agree. I totally agree with that. It's also one of the reasons why we have the Q&As, to find out if they were listening and to really kind of get the point across. You know, like, we want you to know this, and we want you to ask us, you know, what you don't know, so that we can tell you and you can really understand the background of, you know, not only the characters in the play, but what it took us to learn to play these characters, because that's basically what you're learning too, you know? So it's important. It's really important. Yeah.
So how many, like, where in the city are you performing? Is there a specific amount of schools you're going to? Like, how often are you performing during this month? And yeah, what does that look like?
Right now, we've been to 3 schools, Oakwood Collegiate and Sunnyview. We have some evening shows as well, which are at public libraries or community centers. Tomorrow, the 7th of February, we're at Swansea Town Hall. And then Friday, we're at Pope John Paul, which is in Scarborough, and we have 2 shows. So it varies, but it's usually about between 4 and 8 shows a week. We'll go to one school, and we'll do 2 a day if it's a really big school, because not all the students can fit in the gym at one time. And then if it's like a middle school, we'll do 1 performance a day. And then for the days that schools didn't book, they have some loop performances at public libraries or community centers. And for our closing night, we're going to be at Hard House Theater, which is at the UFT campus. And I think that's going to be a real, real good atmosphere. It's a nice theater. You know, good community around there, so that's definitely a way to go out with a bang. Yeah. After this tour is done with the schools, there is going to be a 2-week run of the meeting for general audiences, so I guess older audiences. I'm not sure the venue yet, but they're looking at May, June. The company African Theatre Ensemble, who's organizing it, is definitely going to organize a run in the spring, summer, for 2 weeks, and it's going to be for general audiences. So if you guys want to follow them on Twitter, keep up with them on Facebook, they will be posting details about another run for general audiences, for sure.
What is upcoming for you? What else are you working on? Are you working on anything else? Is there any sort of upcoming projects that you're involved with, upcoming besides this one? And
after this tour, I'm currently taking some classes, and I'm probably going to continue to train for a bit, because the further you go into acting, you need to keep up with training and getting yourself more and more comfortable in different scenarios and challenging yourself. And so I'm probably going to just, you know, take a little time to work on myself and my foundation. Definitely work on some new monologues. I think I have a few after this play. just train. And, you know, I believe it or not, I don't have a demo reel yet. So I'm going to work on that. And, you know, just kind of take some downtime, train myself, work on my foundation, and then we'll go from there. And probably by that time it'll be time for refresher rehearsals for the 2-week run in May or June.
Well, now that you've kind of had more experience with screen and stage, what do you think is the difference? And is the process different? Do you kind of prepare for the roles differently? What is your process for screen and specifically stage?
Well, that's a good question, actually. With film and television, a lot of the stuff on camera has to be grounded and it has to be internal. It kind of internalizes because the camera picks up every little detail. In terms of preparation, it's usually the same process. They have rehearsals. It might be on a little bit of a tighter schedule because of, you know, shooting dates and budget constrictions and stuff like that. On stage, and the reason why I like stage since I've started doing it, is you can be as animated as you want. You can go as high as you want until someone tells you to tone it down, which is the beauty of it, because you're being yourself while being a character. You know, you're bringing elements of yourself to the character, and there's really no limit. You know, you have to animate it for the audience. The other reason why I like stage is in film you get, you know, 3, 4, 5 chances to do it. Stage, there's one chance. There's an audience. You go and you improvise as you go if you need to. And so you feed off of the other actors on stage, you feed off of their energy, you feed off of the crowd's energy, you know. And I think that's the thrill of it. It's the thrill of stage that really, really makes me love it and want to do more of it. So, yeah, those are the main differences. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move back to your daily, you know, your daily grind sort of as an actor living in Toronto.
let's see. Always be ready to audition at very short notice. I would say preparation. There's no such thing as too much preparation for an audition, for a role, whatever it may be. If you want to perfect a monologue, you know, preparation and just staying committed to yourself, believing in yourself, is big on the spiritual side. The audition process, of course, that's a hard one for a lot of actors to master. Yeah, I would say preparation and commitment. Definitely don't get discouraged. I know a lot of actors, well, I can speak for myself. I've heard a lot of no's before I've heard a lot of yeses. And so, you know, 1,000 no's is worth that one yes, you know. And I mean, I never thought I would be playing Malcolm X, you know. And so it's that self-belief, you know. And when you do get that callback or that, you know, that yes, that's when you really have to tell yourself, okay, I got the part. Now it's really time to show what I can do, you know. And so, yeah, commitment and just staying focused and staying prepared. You know, those are part of the daily grind of my life. You know, and for a lot of actors, when there's nothing going on, you know, go see a play, read a play, get inspired to do a monologue or, you know, take a class, you know, take a class and push yourself, you know, push yourself, take a voice class, take a, you know, a monologue class or take a scene study and just, you know, stay fresh. You know, try not to be too stagnant because you can lose a lot of the momentum that way. And so, you know, that helps to keep you committed and, you know, prepared and inspired.
Yeah. Is there any character that, you know, you really want to, you know, sort of kind of investigate, play?
That's a really good question. When I watch, you know, Luther or Training Day, you know, those kind of characters, I really want to be in like you know, a film or a TV series that, I don't know if anyone's seen the movie Snatch. Mm-hmm. With, you know, it's like you know, those dark comedy crime, you know, genre. I'd really like to do something like that and you know, have that Cockney accent and you know, there's all these characters mingling and there's the slight comedic feel to it. I'd really love to do something like that. That would be an honor for me to do something like that. Obviously, playing iconic characters is another big one. Malcolm X is a good one. And it goes to say, any other character that I have to play that is historic and iconic, I know it will be a challenge, but I'm ready for it. I stay ready for it. So,
Are you an actor that writes his own stuff? Are you looking to do that? Is that in your future, or are you doing that now?
Actually, yeah, it's interesting you asked that, sorry, because I have a few ideas in mind, and I'm not giving anything away. I have a few things in mind that I'd like to write. Now, I have no experience writing, so I probably have to take a few workshops, get some advice on how to go about that. But yeah, definitely have a lot of stuff brainstormed. My biggest problem is I have to write them down when I think of them, and so I remember them. But yeah, definitely a road I'd like to venture on, writing and, directing, for sure.
As an actor working in Toronto, what are your challenges as an actor?
The first one would be competition, and that's where self-belief comes in, because I have something that stands out from the rest. We're in a big city and there's a lot of people going after the same thing, and maybe also to better funding for the arts. There's a lot of independent playwrights, stage companies, filmmakers, writers, and I'd like to see actors be respected more and be paid more, obviously. Even if you're non-union, it doesn't mean you should be taken for granted. Those would be the main things I'd say that are like some of the challenges actors have to really cope with, learn to cope with, and get over. Yeah.
Do you find that there's an actor, community that you're a part of, and how can we better kind of support actors in the city?
Yeah, I'm actually like on Facebook, I'm a member of a few groups. There's the Toronto Theatre Performer Exchange. There's African Theatre Ensemble. They have a group, I think the main thing is just is funding. I mean, like, if actors want to be writers, and if writers want to be producers, and producers want to be directors, where do we start? Is there any sort of, and I know there is mentorship programs for, in various stage companies if you want to venture in, but, for the film side of things, is where do we start? And I'd like to see, artists be treated equally, just as anybody else who's fully full-time employed. we love what we do just as, anyone else loves what they do. And so we shouldn't really, I don't feel that we should really be taken for granted and discouraged from doing what we want to do. And another thing I want to say is that, when I first started off, a lot of people didn't take me seriously because the first thing they would ask me is, are you on TV? And I said, well, you don't have to be on TV to be an actor. A lot of people don't know anything about stage. Even though in school, we read the book versions of a lot of plays, we see the movie versions of a lot of plays. I would just educate or tell people to educate themselves a little more about the industry than thinking everything's media. Because some of the best productions, some of the best movies have started on stage, or they started as a book, through writing or acting, so I would just encourage people to in that sense not be so ignorant to the fact that not all actors, and some of the best actors, haven't done any film or television. They've done all stage, and they've been very successful at it. So,
and then also it's like an educational component. I mean, all the work that you're doing in schools is an education of, you know, a historical moment or a fictional one. But I think a lot of people forget that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it comes again to how much is the government willing to push the arts in schools, and how much are they willing to, educate people and get it out there more so people can be aware. You know, these are artists and they're good at what they do, and then don't mistreat them or take them for granted. You know, there's some very talented people out there, and it's not only actors, visual artists, writers, directors. There's a lot of talented people out there,
So maybe tell the listeners where they can see their the play, and then also how they could get in contact with the actual production, and then you as an actor yourself.
Sure. Okay. African Theater Ensemble is the company that I'm performing with. They are a very, 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 very good company. I've had nothing but good things happen to me since, walking the door the first day of rehearsal. Nothing but good things to say about them. You can follow them on Twitter at African Theater, and you can like their Facebook page at African Theater Ensemble. And they also have a group on Facebook under the same name, African Theater Ensemble. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at MrAJM3000. And I'm on Facebook as well. I have a fan page. It's AJ Fan Access Page. That's where you can find me most of the time. I have a blog that I update, on things that I'm doing, things I have on the go. And if I have nothing on the go, I'll blog about, advice that I can help, young actors or actors that are relatively new like myself. And I also do the occasional vlog update too. So that's where you can find me. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Film Bluff, yes, on Roncesvalles. If people haven't checked this out, it's awesome. /film rental place/cafe. But anyway, thanks again. And we'll have you on the show again. Yes. And shout outs. You want to do shout outs? For sure.
I just want to shout out the artistic coordinator, Madupe, of African Theater Ensemble. There's also another show happening called Lost. And they're also touring the GTA. Fantastic, fantastic story. Actually written by Madupe. Stellar cast. There's singing and dancing in that one. So if you're into that, it's a must-see for sure. I want to shout out the director, Awaba. And I want to shout out my cast members, Roy Lewis, Tomi. I know you have a long last name, so I'm just going to say Tomi. And our stage manager, Daniel. Excellent crew. Everyone's fantastic and everyone's having a good time. So, there you go.
Thank you again. And we'll have you on the show again. Hopefully you'll come back.
Sounds good. Anytime.